Tonight, we are going to hear the missionary story of Mr. William Carey, who is a missionary in India. Now, India, back at the time when Mr. Carey was about ready to go, was a little bit different than it is today. Now, there's still a lot of pagan people in India, but back then there were a couple of things that Indian people would do that were very bad. One of those things was that when they would make a vow that if their gods would do whatever they wanted for them, then they paid their vows by throwing their babies into the river to be eaten by crocodiles. So they would take, if their god gave them two babies and they thought that that god had given them the one, then they took the one baby and threw it out into the water to be eaten by crocodiles. Another thing that would happen is a practice that was called sati, that when a man died, his wife, who was still alive, would be burnt on that man's funeral pyre. So they would burn the body of the dead person, and they would burn the body of the living wife on it as well. And these were the things that William Carey heard about when he was a little boy, when he would read about travels of people from different lands far away from England. Because William Carey, he was not in India when he was born. He was born instead in England in a small town. He was the son of a weaver who made a certain cloth. And he had a loom there in his home, in his main living room. And he would go get the materials, bring it to his home, weave the cloth, take the cloth back to the manufacturer, and so on. And so William Carey grew up in that kind of a home environment. Now, later in William Carey's life, one of the things that he said to one of his sons was this. He said to his son, he said, if he give me credit, speaking of a future biographer, he said, if people write about me and they give me credit for being a plodder, he will describe me justly. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. And to this, I owe everything. Now, when he's talking about plodding, he's talking about something other than sprinting. So when we want to go really fast somewhere and accomplish something in record time, we get all ready to go, and then we charge and we run and we sprint. But Carey is saying that he's not a sprinter, he's a plodder. Instead of being the person who takes it a dash, he takes everything one step at a time, the next step, the next step, the next step. And that showed up when he was just a little boy. Because when he was a little boy, he taught himself to read Latin, which is an old ancient language. Excuse me. So he taught himself in another language than English all by himself. And then later, as he grew up, he started working for a man who was a shoemaker, and he would help make shoes. And when a couple of interesting things happened at the shoe shop, but one of those things was that he stumbled across some Greek books in the library of his master. So I brought a Greek New Testament, and so it looked something like this, not at all really like this, but you know, it was those same characters. And he found those books in a library in his master's building, and he decided that he wanted to learn Greek too. And so he started studying Greek, and Pastor Peter's excited about William Carey. So he learned Greek, and then later taught himself Hebrew. He taught himself all these languages, and he was the kind of kid who would just sit down and plod step after step, minute after minute, hour after hour, studying these languages. Another thing he loved to do as a kid was he loved to go exploring outside, and he had a collection of different plants and insects that he would keep, and that he loved cataloging any new animal that he could find, but unfortunately he had a skin disease when he was young, and so he wasn't able to be outside all that much. Consequently, he ended up going into shoes instead of being a gardener. But another important thing that happened while he was working at the shoemaker shop was that one of the other boys who worked at the shop with him was a Christian, was a man who was a part of the Baptist church there in town. And he was the one who led William Carey to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, like Pastor Peter was talking about tonight. And then he and this guy, as they grew up and got a little older, they even worked together to start a church. And about this time, William Carey got married to a lady named Dorothy, who he had known there and who he had got to know through that shop. And so he got married, he had a family, he had a little place to live there, and started preaching in churches around the area, eventually pastoring a little church. And as he started preaching and teaching the Bible, he became convinced of something that wasn't very popular at the time, and that was that the main work of the church was to take the gospel and the good news of Jesus to people who hadn't heard, and that meant even to people in far distant lands like this place in India. And he even got so convinced about it that he wanted to make the case, and so he wrote a paper, and that paper has a title that I want you all to remember. It's called An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens, in which the state of the different nations of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. As makes sense, it was only further known as The Inquiry, and that was the end of it, the end of the title. So this paper, though, shook and kind of stirred up the pot of people there. Some people got mad at him, and he ended up getting a collection of ministers together, and he preached to them, and he said, listen, we need to expect great things from God, and we need to attempt great things from God. And he moved those people, the preaching moved them so much that the next day those people decided, we're going to send missionaries into other countries. And they got together, and they raised some money, and they found a man named Mr. Thomas who was going to India, who was a medical doctor and had been there before, and they decided that they were going to send him as their first missionary that they would fund to go to India. Well, Mr. Carey, he had heard of all this stuff that was going on in India already, and he was moved himself, and he said, I want to go too. And so long story short, they get on a boat, and they head over to India. Now, I went over to India a couple years ago, and it took me a day and a half to get there. Do you know how long it took them to get to India? 5 months. 5 months in a boat. Crossing the ocean without stopping. They didn't even stop at some of the ports that they were supposed to stop at, straight through all the way to India, 5 months on a boat. Then they get there and it's hot and muggy and they've got to find a new place to live and they don't speak the language. But the Lord blessed them and they ended up being able to, he worked as the manager of an indigo farm and was able to use that opportunity working with these people to learn the language. And in this little place up in Malda in India, it was kind of swampy land, and he was able to work with these people and learn the language, and it was there that he started, and because he was so good at picking up languages, it came pretty quickly, and he was able to practice his language in the indigo factory, and then in the weekends and on the evenings, he would go out into the marketplaces, and he'd preach to the people there with what little of the language he knew. And that was quite an interesting place to live at the time, because in that place where their cattle were out in the fields, tigers would come in and eat their cattle. So they didn't have to worry about other rodents. They had to worry about tigers. And then there were crocodiles. William Carey, in one of his journal entries, even says that there was a pond not 10 yards from their front door that had crocodiles in it. And you know what? He said they still slept with the door open at night, because they weren't afraid of the crocodiles. Apparently, they weren't very aggressive or scary. But I would be pretty scared of crocodiles if they were just outside my front door and I left my door open at night. It was a good time for William Carey until his son died. He had a 5-year-old son that here in Malda passed away. And that is tragic enough in and of itself, but it also sent his wife into bad mental state to the point that she was having so many problems being sick in her head that she wasn't a real big help to him for the rest of his time in India. But in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the tragedy, he continued to plod forward like he always did. He continued to put one foot in front of the other and began to work on translating the Bible into the languages of the people. So I've got a Bible here that's got two languages, one side by side, for you to see. So he would take, like, you've got English on one side, and then there's Russian on the other side. He would make it, because these people didn't have a Bible that was in their language for them to be able to read. And so he was working to, now that he knew their language, to translate the Bible so that they would be able to have a copy of the scriptures for themselves. And that's what he was dedicating his life to then. So he and Mr. Thomas were continuing to work there, and finally some other missionaries started coming to help them. But those missionaries got stuck in another town, so they actually decided to move from Malda, where he was, this swampy land with the crocodiles, and move down to this port city to work and to start a mission house. So now there were multiple missionaries in one spot. And one of those missionaries was even a printer who was able to print the Bible. And so he set up a print shop, and they made a paper mill and were able to start printing William Carey's stuff as he was translating it. They started a school for children in the area so that the children could get a good education and be able to read and write. They also served the community by taking in some of those kids that had been abandoned by their parents. All sorts of things were happening at this mission house in Serampore. But you know what hadn't happened yet? In 7 years of working, 7 years of working on the Bible, 7 years of preaching to people, not one person had come to know Jesus. Not one Indian person had followed Jesus like Pastor Peter was talking about tonight. The first man was a man named Krishna Paul, who dislocated his shoulder when he was getting out of his carriage. He was stepping out of a horse carriage and he fell down and he broke his shoulder and dislocated it. And he had to go, and he knew that there was a doctor at the mission house. So he sent his kids to run and go get the doctor. And the doctor came and helped him, was able to relocate his shoulder, set it back again, give him medicine and make him feel better. And as he was there being treated, they told them about Jesus. And he was so intrigued that he brought one of his friends back. And they kept coming back again and again and again until finally they decided that they were going to follow Jesus and they committed themselves to following Jesus. And they did something that was unheard of in India. They broke caste and sat down with the missionaries and with Indians from other caste systems together around a table to fellowship, because they were fellowshipping as brothers and sisters in Christ, not as members of the Indian culture. So that was a very exciting time for the people there at the Serampore mission. And soon after that, he was baptized along with Carrie's oldest son, and things started going really well. After that, shortly after that, William Carey finished the New Testament in Bengali. It was the first thing he was able to publish. And so they went and took that press that they had set up, and they started printing a Bible. So now they were able to have Bibles there for the people, so that the people in that land could read the Bible and hear about God. And that, William Carey started teaching at a school. There was all sorts of good things that were going forward there, and eventually something kind of bad happened, and that was that his wife died. But William Carey remarried soon after that to a lady who then was able to, his first wife, because she had been so sick, she was unable to really help in the mission work. But now that he had a wife who was healthy and able to contribute, he had someone to help him with his translation work. And then his son was ordained to go be a missionary in Burma. Everything was going really well for Carey. The plotting was paying off. But then one day, Mr. Ward, the pressman, he was in their shop. And he was sitting down, wrapping up some stuff late at night, and he smelled smoke. And he went out into the room where all the presses were, and he saw that the entire room was just filled with smoke, and smoke was billowing out of the other end. And on the other end of the building, there was another little room that held their paper storage, and their paper was on fire. And so he shut all the doors and windows to try to suffocate the fire, and he ran outside and got as many people as he could to help form a fire brigade, and they had buckets of water, and some people got up on the roof and were dumping water onto the fire, trying to put the fire out. They worked at that for 4 hours, bringing bucket after bucket after bucket. Finally, the flames started to subside and were almost down. And so Mr. Ward ran back to the front, ran back to his office to save some of the more valuable papers and make sure they were out and that they were okay. And as he ran back there, one of the people who he had left went to open a window to throw some water in through a window. And when he did that, the air from the open window, the breeze, inflamed the fire, and the fire shot up really high. It started burning, and within just a couple minutes, the entire print shop was on fire, back in flames. Everything burned. And they had to let William Carey know, who was in another town, in another part of the city, teaching at the college. They had to let him know about all the stuff that had been lost in the fire. He had a translation of an Indian work that he had been working on for 6 years that was in there that had been destroyed. 10 versions of the Bible that were going through the presses were destroyed. He had a draft of a polyglot dictionary that he was never able to get back to that was destroyed. He had 2 different grammars in 2 different languages that he had written that were destroyed and not recovered. And William Carey lost almost everything that he had been working on up to this point. You know what William Carey did next? He put down one foot in front of the other and kept plotting. And he picked up the pen, he picked up the Bible, and he started translating again. And by the end of his life, he had the full Bible in 6 different languages. He had translated the whole Bible into 6 different languages, and he had translated parts of the Bible into 29 different languages. And then there's a lot more that happened, a lot more of the Bible that was translated for other people. from the mission there in Serampore. And then after 25 years of mission work, there were more than 600 people who had been baptized. And there were even more, like 3,000 people who were attending their classes and going to their schools. William Carey's life ended up making a really big difference in India, not just for the sake of the gospel, but then the cultural impact that it had. There were schools and people who were educated. A college was started, and so much that William Carey's life contributed. But it didn't contribute because he shot out in some big way. It made a difference because every day he put one foot in front of the other, being faithful to do what God wanted him to do on that day and the next, even in the face of some incredible tragedy. And that is the story of William Carey, the gospel plotter. All right, Pastor Peter.
Thank you, Brother Josh. That's one of my favorite stories. I just love the story of William Carey, and I'm thankful for you sharing all those details. It was really quite interesting to hear about, and really an example of how God can use even ordinary people when they just put one foot in front of the other and they stay faithful, and how faithfulness can pay off even when the results initially seem to be pretty discouraging. So we're going to pray and close. But I have one announcement before we do that. And I'm a little scared to make this announcement. We got downstairs a ping pong table that you all can use after the services. We're not going to have it probably after the morning service, but after the evening service on Sunday night, we thought it would be a good thing to have downstairs. But here's the thing. It's only a good thing if you all use it responsibly. And I'm thinking of some of you kids. It's exciting, but we need to be responsible in the way that we use it so we don't bounce the ping pong balls at people's heads or anything like that. And we need to take turns and use it all good. And so the hope is that if everybody just uses common sense and is kind, then we don't need to make a whole bunch of rules about it. And we can leave it out on Sunday night and people can use it and adults can play with the young people and young people can play with the adults and with one another, and it'll be a good occasion for fellowship and a big blessing. And so we will hopefully not have to make a bunch of rules, but if it gets to be not a blessing, then we'll have to put it away or come up with ways to make sure that it stays a blessing to everyone. And so we'll have someone go down and unfold that downstairs after the service. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it'll be a fun thing. That'll be an enjoyable way to fellowship together after the service. So I just wanted to let you all know about that. So let's go before the Lord and pray and close the service. Father, I come before you. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to learn from your word, to learn from the history of your church, to sing songs, to praise your name. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be those faithful step-by-step plotters who leave the increase to you and do what you've called us to do each and every day, following in your footsteps and not the footsteps of our own hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.